Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. Come, Lord God, and be with us in this hour. Too often our cares and our worries keep us at distance from you. Come, Lord God, and speak a word of comfort to your troubled people. Help us hear you, Lord God, in the quietness of these moments.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. First of all, I would like to thank all of the wonderful ladies and gentlemen who helped out with our UMW Bazaar that happened yesterday. There were delicious goodies, and there were really, really beautiful crafts, and I cannot thank you all enough for the wonderful work that you did and all of the wonderful places that the money that we raised will go in our community. And I know that Mary wanted to say something along that line, too.
Well, just in addition to that, there are still a few things available in the fellowship hall. So after church, if you're interested and would like to take a look, we're still selling those. And is there anything else, Jane? Oh, yes. If people brought crafts or baked goods or anything and you would like to take them home afterwards, we'd like to get it all out of the fellowship hall today if we could, so that we don't have to store it for a year. Yeah, especially the baked goods.
Those would be very interesting a year from now. Good for Halloween, perhaps. Another announcement is this week we have our charge conference on Thursday at 7 p.m. Up in Dells Lake Dalton Church. Charge conference is the annual meeting of our church, the annual business meeting of our church. It always looks really good if we have a strong showing there, especially because my boss will be there. And this is my first year with a new boss, so I always like to look like I'm really well prepared. So pray for me that it all goes well, and also come along to learn a little bit more about what we're doing and about this business meeting of the church. And then a more fun announcement. On Friday, we are having our Pixar movie night. We will be watching the movie Up at 6:30. So come to the church and come enjoy Up. If you enjoyed the Pixar shorts, this is a full-length feature, so you get 2 whole hours of Pixar. So I highly recommend it, and I think we're all going to have a wonderful time. Those are all of my announcements. Are there any announcements that I missed? Yes, thank you for reminding us about that. And I think we're all excited to hear what she has to say. Are there any other announcements? Would you please stand and join me in singing This Is a Change, For All the Saints, number 711. I wanted us to be able to sing it right after the bell choir did such a wonderful job. So we're going to sing For All the Saints, 711 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
Please join me in our praise. We come to you this day with burdens and cares in our hearts. We come to you this day with fear and uncertainty about the future. Come, let us worship God, whose love is abundant.
Let us praise God, our salvation, who watches over us always.
Amen. Let us pray together the prayer in your bulletin. Open our hearts today, O Lord, to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen, not only with our ears, but with our spirits, for your words of compassion, healing. Enable us to become more faithful disciples for you. For we ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please join in singing How Firm a Foundation, number 529 in the red hymnal.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a special moment. We'll sit down here today, because we've got a table. Oh! Oh! All right, I brought a book for you today, and I'm going to read it to you, okay? We'll try to show it to everybody simultaneously. So this book is called When You Are Brave. So we've been talking about courage for a while now. You want to sit there? Okay. Got to have a good view of the book. Some days, when everything around you seems scary, You have to be brave. Brave as a bird that steps from its nest, hoping to soar through the sky. Brave as a dog that wanders for miles, searching for one well-known light. Brave as a caterpillar that builds a bed, wondering when it will wake. Because some days are full of things that you'd rather not do. Like plunging into a pool all by yourself, hoping you'll swim and not sink. Have you guys jumped into a pool for the first time? Do you remember? Was that scary? Yeah, right? Or standing alone in front of a crowd, searching for one friendly face. Do you guys get nervous when you are in front of a lot of people? Yeah, some people do, some people don't. Or boarding a bus, riding to school, wondering what lies ahead. Do you remember the first day you went to school all by yourself? Was that kind of scary? Maybe not for everybody. At times like these, the world can seem too big, too loud, too hard, too much. While you feel too small, too quiet, too tired, not enough. On those days, you look deep inside to find the courage you need. It might be hidden away, but if you close your eyes and breathe, you will see it, shining its light in the dark, warm, steady, safe. Your light might be small to start, just a spark, but you can turn it into a flame. Picture it in your mind, then imagine it becomes bigger and bolder. You can make your courage so big it brightens your heart, it fills your fingers, and it flows through your toes. Think about what you're good at, something you love, or someone who loves you. No one else will see it, but you'll know you glow. And you'll know that you are ready. No matter how deep the water, how loud the crowd, how hard the ride, or how much there is to do, you might struggle, you might succeed, people might clap or laugh or not notice at all. No matter what happens, you'll be all right. Because once you find your courage, it's easy to use it again and again. The next time life seems scary, or you start something new, you can remember when you were brave. And then you can stand straight and walk tall, knowing that you are as brave as a bird, a dog, and a caterpillar. As brave as you. The end. What was the most brave moment you've had? You had to do anything brave? Not really? Yeah? The first year that you had to go to elementary school without your sister. Yeah, that's hard for little siblings. My brother really struggled with that when I went on to middle school and he was alone. Oh. Anybody else have something brave they've done? No? Well, that's okay. I hope you'll remember this book when you need to feel brave and remember that you can find it deep inside of you and that you already have everything that you need in order to get what you want in life. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me, please. Holy God, thank you for giving us everything we need in order to be brave. We know that you never leave us, especially during the moments in life that are scary. Help us to find our courage today and every day. Amen. All right, you guys can head back to your seats. Thank you for listening to my book. I really like this one. If anybody is wondering, it is by Pat Zelau Miller. It's called When You Are Brave.
Well, to that theme, Lord, give me the courage to get through the psalm. Stepping over any of my words.
Feel it glow inside of you.
Yes. So this is Psalm 31, verses 9 through 17. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes waste away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object to dread of my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of my mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol.
Logistics. I'm going to come closer today. We'll go around the table. That'll solve the problem. That was so beautiful. Thank you all. We are doing our last sermon about living courageously. We've been talking about it for the last 4 weeks. And this sermon is living courageously by having patience with yourself. Our scripture reading for today comes from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Ahab told Jezebel all Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and he fled for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life away, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree, and he fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. And then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. God add a blessing to this, the reading of God's holy word. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, there are many moments in life when things just feel like too much. Lord, help us to have patience with ourselves, to know that you love us and understand us, and your grace is abundantly free to us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you were to ask me who is the wisest author I can think of, I would skip over the likes of Shakespeare or Mark Twain, and I would go straight to Lemony Snicket. It is not that Shakespeare and Twain do not have many wise things to say. It's something about Snicket's tongue-in-cheek delivery that has me hooked. In his book Horseradish, which is a collection of sayings from his better-known series, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Snicket gives us a series of short pieces of wisdom. For example, he writes, "Everyone should be able to do one card trick, tell two jokes, and recite three poems, in case they are ever trapped in an elevator." Now, I think that's great advice. You never know when you might need that, right? He also says, "Just because something is traditional is no reason to do it, of course. Piracy, for example, is a tradition that goes back for hundreds of years. That doesn't mean that we should all attack ships and steal their gold." I also think that's really good advice. It's a good argument for making all things new, right? But my favorite piece of Lemony Snicket wisdom, and the one I quote most often, is this one. "It is a curious thing, the death of a loved one. We all know that our time in this world is limited and that eventually all of us will end up underneath some sheet never to wake up. And yet it is always a surprise when it happens to someone we know. It is like walking up the stairs to your bedroom in the dark and thinking that there is one more stair than there is. Your foot falls down through the air and there's a sickly moment of dark surprise as you try and readjust the way you thought of things." There's something about that image of walking up the stairs in the middle of the night that I connect to strongly. It seems no matter how we pretend we are prepared for moments in our lives when we experience grief, it still seems like grief takes us completely by surprise. The truth seems to be that emotions of grief are something that no one can brace for. WebMD defines grief as a natural response to losing someone or something that is important to you. Everyone experiences grief at some point in their lives, and everyone reacts to grief very differently. When you are experiencing grief, you may feel a variety of emotions. Symptoms of grief vary and can be physical, such as restlessness, physical pain, nausea, crying, hyperactivity, fatigue, and more. Sometimes your symptoms can be more emotional. And not everyone experiences the same kind of emotions. Some people experiencing grief feel sadness or anger or fear or numbness or guilt or loneliness or apathy. Sometimes people experiencing grief may experience social symptoms. They may become dependent on others or withdraw from those around them. They may feel sensitive and a lack of interest in social activities. All this is normal, but not easy. Lastly, those experiencing grief may demonstrate behavioral symptoms like forgetfulness or slow thinking, dreaming of their loved one, trying not to talk about their loss or needing to tell about it over and over again. We all experience grief all the time. We lose things that are important to us. We experience grief over the loss of loved ones, things or places we care about, opportunities, hopes, and dreams. Grief often sneaks up on us out of the blue like a missing stare in the middle of the night. We each experience our grief a little differently, whether we feel anger, loss, or sadness. Everyone's grief is equally valid. Personally, I most often feel a profound sense of exhaustion. But grief is tricky in that we can experience it differently each and every time we feel it. No matter how we experience grief, it can feel overwhelming and like we will never find a new normal. Elijah understood all too well the overwhelming feeling of grief, although he probably could not have named it. The book of 1 Kings tells us that Elijah was in a bit of a pickle. Elijah had been called by God to serve as a prophet during the reign of King Ahab in Israel. A prophet in ancient Israel served as a representative of God to the people of Israel and had the often unpopular job of reminding the king and all of the other people the ways in which they were acting unfaithful to God. Needless to say, this calling people out on things they were doing wrong, especially people who were more powerful than you, and insisting that they immediately change, made being a prophet a lonely and occasionally dangerous job. Elijah had done what he thought was right. When King Ahab married his wife Jezebel, who was a priestess of the rival god Baal, and made prophets of Baal, or brought prophets of Baal with her, Elijah warned them that this was a bad idea. But despite his gloomy warnings, Ahab and Jezebel insisted that everything would be fine, and they even threatened the lives of Jewish prophets. So Elijah, in frustration, ordered the death of 450 prophets of Baal. Needless to say, this made the queen very, very angry. So Elijah finds himself on the run and fearing for his life. Elijah ran out into the desert alone. Traveling for a day into the wilderness, he found a broombrush tree and collapsed under it. Elijah was experiencing a plethora of emotions. He had been so excited to be an anointed prophet of Israel. I mean, what better job is there than that, right? But somehow things had gone terribly wrong. Even though he had believed he had done the right thing in following God, he had still ended up angering the king and queen, and now he was on the run. He had no hope, no future, and no idea where he was going to go next. It was only natural that he would feel hopeless, lost, and exhausted. Out of his pain, Elijah prays to God, saying, "Oh God, take my life. I can't stand it anymore." Then he cried himself to sleep, lying on the ground in the desert. All at once, an angel touched Elijah gently on the shoulder. When he woke, the angel said, "Elijah, get up and eat." Elijah looked around, and right next to him was a loaf of bread cooking on a warm fire and a jar of water. So Elijah ate the bread and drank the water before collapsing back into an exhausted sleep. After he had slept a while, a second time the angel of the Lord came to him and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Again, Elijah found food and water had been provided, so he ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, water, and sleep, Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Everyone experiences grief differently. Sometimes when we are in the midst of our grief, like Elijah, we are so desperate to escape our emotions that we wish that God would just take us away. Sometimes when we are experiencing grief, it can be hard to keep going. Even walking a simple distance can be hard. But God understood Elijah's grief, and God worked to comfort him. God did not ask Elijah to give up Elijah's emotions or pain. Instead, God met Elijah right where he was at, lying in the desert, in the dirt, crying under a tree. But God doesn't leave Elijah in the desert. Instead, God sent an angel to help Elijah meet his daily needs. Sometimes food, water, and sleep can do wonders. Although these things do not change our sadness and our pain or the reality of what we have to face eventually, it is amazing the healing power of food, water, and a good nap. With God's help and care, eventually Elijah reaches a point where he can once again see the forest through the trees. One of the most courageous things that we can do in life is to have patience and understanding with ourselves in moments of crisis. It can be so tempting to judge ourselves in ways we would never judge others. We can ask things of ourselves that we would never ask any loved one. But when we are experiencing grief and disappointment like Elijah, things that are usually so simple can become difficult. It's okay to be gentle with oneself. It's okay to focus on simple things like eating and showering and sleeping. These basic needs and patience have a remarkable healing power. Talk if you need to. Don't if it helps you. Know that no matter how you choose to handle your grief, you are never alone. God is always by our sides. The truth is that Elijah's story doesn't end in his grief. It ends in hope. He travels from the place of hopelessness in the desert to the mountain of God, where he experiences God in a new and beautiful way. God will never leave us alone in our times of greatest sadness. God walks alongside us through every moment of our grief and sadness, living with us in it, and waiting for the day when we are ready to face the future with God. On All Saints' Day, we take time to remember our loved ones who are no longer with us. This may be for you one of those moments when you feel like you've missed a stair. It may be one of those moments when you feel grief. And if not today, maybe you will feel grief during Thanksgiving or Christmas. Holidays are often time when we remember our loved ones. The grief you are experiencing may be from a loss you experienced this year, or it may be from years ago. There is no statute of limitation on grief. It may appear and reappear at any time. And when it does, I hope that you will give yourself the grace and love that God gives you. Lemony Snicket also writes, "If you have ever lost a loved one, then you know exactly how it feels. And if you have not, then you cannot possibly imagine it." While none of us have experienced each other's losses and can never know exactly how they feel, I know that our loving God, who walks with us through the wilderness moments in our lives and will not let us go no matter how hard things get, does understand. I pray that you will feel this kind of love and grace every day of your life. Amen and amen. Please join with me in singing hymn number 534 in the red hymnal, Be Still My Soul. Please stand. Be seated. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. I'd like to recognize some really special gifts this particular day. You'll find an insert in your bulletin. These are gifts that were given in memory of people who have gone before us, saints who have gone before us. In the past year, we've received a gift in memory of Bob Barr, Denman Craner, Dave Hine, Marge Genevko. Thank you. That one's challenging for me. Nyla Litcher and Mary Ellen Brockman. Would the ushers come forward and receive our other gifts and our offerings?
bulletin. Holy God, remember the strength of your love and the promise of your help. Help us to remember to share who we are as a church in the world. We share these gifts of love with one another and with you in gratitude for the many gifts you've given us all. Let these gifts travel around the world, blessing your saints as they may go. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to share any prayers that you may have this morning. And I remembered my microphone for once. Do you want the microphone?
I learned on Friday night that my sister has to have surgery on Monday for a lesion on her brain. So she's having brain surgery tomorrow morning. Just asking for prayers and for peace and for strength. Thank you.
Prayers for your sister who is having surgery on a lesion on her brain on Monday? Tomorrow morning, right? We pray that that surgery will be very successful and that God would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses that she might may recover quickly.
Many of you know that my daughter Susan had cancer, had breast cancer, and I had three before a year and a half ago. Well, now she's discovered another lesion on the other breast. Yeah. So tomorrow she needs to make a decision about what kind of surgery she will need for that. So it's pretty good. It's a good decision.
We pray for your daughter, Susan, who has discovered she had breast cancer a couple years ago. She's now discovered that she's got a lesion on the other side, and she's got some hard decisions to make. We pray that she would have guidance to make the right decisions for her and that those decisions would lead to health and life and joy for her and her family. So, fun history moment. Halloween is originally the holiday All Hallows' Eve, which simply means that it comes before All Saints' Day. And All Saints' Day is the day that we celebrate all of the people in the church, in the Protestant church, who have ever been a part of the church. So each of you sitting here is a saint. And everybody who has come before us is a saint, and we celebrate all of those wonderful people who we remember on that day. It's a wonderful tradition of the church to remember those who we love, who we've gone before us on the Sunday afterwards. So next year when you're in your costumes, you can remember that that's celebrating the night before this wonderful celebration. I'm going to light a candle for the members who have passed away in the last year, but then I would invite any of you to come up and light a candle. We know that grief has no end and no time limit. So if it's somebody who's passed away a long time ago or somebody who's passed away a short time ago who you would like to remember by lighting a candle, please come forward and do so. So I'll start out, and then I would invite all of you to come up after that. Take it from the light of Christ. So we remember Doris Hosig, Wilbur Litcher, Patricia Walter, Robert Barr. Denman Kramer. Marjorie Geneva Cole. Nyla Litcher. And Mary Ellen Brockman. I invite you to come forward and share a moment of remembrance. Will you pray with me? Eternal and loving God, you never leave us alone. You will never abandon us in the moments of our lives. When we feel sad and lonely and frustrated and fearful, Holy God, we know that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That around us today are wonderful saints who have gone before us. We hold them in our hearts as we know that you remember them each and every day. Lord, help us to know that you are always with us. Help us to be patient with ourselves, that we may be your holy people. And listen to us now as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is always an honor when we get to celebrate communion on All Saints Day, which happens a lot, because it's almost always the first Sunday of the month. I'm going to rearrange the whole altar. Feng shui decorating, altar style. Okay, I think we're good now. Will you join me on page 13 of your hymnal? One of the things I like to tell particularly my confirmands, so those of you in this room who are in confirmation, heads up, you'll get to hear this again. But I like to remind them that there's a wonderful line in our communion liturgy that says that with all the people on earth and all your company of heaven, we praise your name and join the round-ending hymn. And that means that when we celebrate communion, we don't do so with just everybody here in this room. We do so with that crowd of witnesses, with that great amount of saints that surround us all the time. So you're never alone when you celebrate communion. You'll always celebrate it with wonderful loved ones surrounding you. And I just think that that's such a wonderful piece of hope that we celebrate absolutely every time we say our communion liturgy. And so appropriate for All Saints Day. I'm going to give you a heads up that I am using the special All Saints version of communion. So it will not be word for word what is in your hymnal, but it should be fairly easy to follow. I just wanted you to know if you were like, Claire, you're going off book. I'm not. I know what it is. I'm off a different book. In the United Methodist Church, we believe in an open table. That means that you need not be a member of this church or of any United Methodist church to receive communion. Christ invites to his table all who repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. And I believe today that our elements are gluten-free. So, yay. And they're grape juice. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those who we have set before you today. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The ushers, please come forward. Body given for you.
Drink of this, all of you. This is Christ's blood given for you. Please join me in singing our communion response hymn, number 143, On Eagle's Wings, and stand if you would while you sing. Let us go forth knowing that we are beloved children of God, surrounded by a wonderful cloud of saints who love us dearly. Amen.